The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
I'm Teresa Kometz from Portland, Michigan, and I listen to Mickey Miles as I train.
I'm John Kometz, and I listen to Mickey Miles while she trains.
This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 397 of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm finally back on Eastern time after my very busy trip.
I want to apologize before we get any further. We were late in posting a show last week for a number of reasons.
Because of my trip.
Not because of your trip, but because of...
you had an illness.
Yeah, I had an illness. We'll get into that later. But
will we?
Someday, yeah. But we posted it on Monday, and so we've got three episodes this week. We just want to.
It'll pass.
Oh.
Boy, this guy's got some stones, doesn't he?
Sorry. Goodness.
And of course, the Golden Tones of Chris Eliopoulos. Hi, Chris.
How you doing? So here we go. I know your favorite band, the Ramones, singing "I Want to Be Sedated" is your song of the day.
I love the Ramones. That's it. I got to see them when I was in college.
But that's not who our shout-out's going to.
No. Actually, it's a double shout-out. First one is to our buddy Fitz Kohler, who has been on the show many times.
Fitz!
She has a new podcast. It's called The Fitzness Show.
Awesome.
Fitzness Show. Say that three times fast. Oh. So that's awesome. And I know I'll be listening. Congratulations.
What took you so long, Fitz?
Yeah. And we have, as everybody knows, everybody who's anybody knows, we have a fundraiser coming up.
I didn't know that.
The brainchild of Phil Vanderpool in August. We're going to be doing the Jungle Cruise Challenge. And now that Lin-Manuel Miranda is not doing Hamilton, I'm sure he'll be there. But that's not who my shout-out's to. And it's to Sandy Began. And she has gotten together with her sister to create a really cool Meet Me in Adventureland shirt. And it's to raise money to support Give Kids the World. And you go to booster.com and then just look for Meet Me in Adventureland. And it's $20. And all the profits go to Give Kids the World. And I'm going to get one because I actually really like that.
Awesome.
I mean,
nice
it's
color.
Not... Chris Eliopoulos' design is one thing.
Oh, stop.
But...
it's not a CE original.
Right. But anyway, it's a cool idea. I mean, we're all Disney geeks, so why not get another shirt?
Okay, so let's have some fun.
All right, let's have fun.
Okay, so on this
I thought we'd already started having fun.
Oh, no, we're already.
It starts now? Okay.
Okay, so on this episode, I'm going to present Michelle and Chris with some possible scenarios that we may or we may not see sometime in the next 5 or 10 years in the world of Disney. I may give them a question and ask them to give me their reaction to it. For instance, it could concern any Disney theme park. It could concern a Disney resort, DVC, the cruise line, Run Disney, or even Walt Disney Entertainment. Okay, now, so how is this going to work? I'll make a statement. And then Michelle and Chris will give us their take on the percentage of that statement being true.
The percentage of likelihood?
And the percentage of likelihood, and we'll explain their answer. So let me give you an example. I might say, what are the chances of yet another Nemo sequel coming out onto the theaters in the next 10 years? And then Chris would say, well, I think it's like 75%, and then you'll tell me why. Or Michelle would say, well, okay. So I want everybody, you know, out there to play along and give us your thoughts on our Mickey Miles and More podcast Facebook page, because we want to hear from you and get your opinion. So you guys ready?
I'm ready.
Let's start having fun.
And nobody has seen these questions but yours truly, okay?
Okay.
All right.
So here's the first one.
Michelle goes first.
Well, you're both going to answer them, but she'll go first.
He's such a gentleman.
Okay, the inaugural Run Disney Paris Half Marathon is coming up this September. And so, Michelle, what is the likelihood of this being, a success and will be the first of many more to be run in the wonderful country of France? What is your take? What is your belief? What are your thoughts?
Boom. So it's really interesting that it's not on the schedule for next year. So I think even Run Disney has given up on it. I think the likelihood is extremely unlikely. I would say I'm going to give it a 10% chance of happening again in Paris. Not to say that it wouldn't happen somewhere else in our country or in another country, but it sounds like from all accounts they've had a really hard time organizing this. It's still not sold out. You can still attend if you want to. And I've had I had an email with the race director over there, or somebody involved in organizing the race, and he has not gotten back to me. So he seemed to be gung-ho at the beginning, but I haven't heard anything. So I would say extremely low, 10%.
10% of it going beyond this year?
Yes.
Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know if everybody in Europe or anybody in the United States wants to travel that far. I mean, the Run Disney bug has hit really hard in the States. I don't know if it's hit in Europe that much. I mean, obviously you have the hard core runners who come from Europe and other regions to come out here for runs, but I don't see. I mean, they may try to build it up, but I think maybe they tried to start too big. They should have thought back to when they originally started the Disney runs here and gone really small first. So they're going to go through this one, and then I think they're going to reevaluate. And like I think Michelle said, I think they're going to, they may do them. I'm going to give them a little higher than Michelle. I might give like 20% chance that they'll continue on, just because they're not going to let it go after just one. They're going to try at least a second and see if they can fix the problems. What about you, Mike? Do you answer the question?
I think I'll answer too. I think that it's 25%, and I'll tell you why. I think that everyone knows what craziness is going on in the world, and I think that if the Run Disney folks could turn back the clock, they would say, maybe this isn't a good time to do this. But I'm a positive thinker, and I'm hoping that the world will be a little bit more sane as we move forward. And so this may become a reality. But I think that next year, probably not. I think this will be the first year, and then we may have to wait before we see it again. So, but I think it's a possibility. I think 25%, but even then I'm thinking that might be a little high, but it's interesting how the three of us are pretty close in saying it's not really in their favor. All right.
I like that one. That was a good one.
Second question. Chris, you're first.
All right.
What are the chances...
12.
...that between now and 2020, January 1st, 2020, either wishes or illuminations will be replaced?
Oh, man. Oh, it's got to be. Jesus. No, I'm so torn. I might just go 50%. You're making me think. So here's the thing. I think they're going to want to update things as they go along. But I also know, especially Illuminations, people love it. They want to keep it there. Wishes seems to be doing well. So you sort of go, are they going to change it just for the sake of change? Or are they going to change it or not change it because it just saves them? Because I assume once they have it going, there's not much extra work they do except for the daily relighting of everything. So by 2020, geez, you know, if it was in Hollywood Studios, I would think it'd be higher. But I'm gonna say right now, another 4 years, I'm gonna say 40% chance of a change.
Both.
Both.
Okay, Michelle.
Well, I'm going to be more cautious because when I think of my experience at Illuminations and at Wishes, it's still very hard to get a place to stand, especially if you're like me and you wait for the last 15 minutes. I mean, it's still packed. And unlike you and Chris and I think most people, not our friends, but most people who visit the park don't see it very often. don't see either one of them very often. I think there's a bigger chance for Illuminations being replaced. I would agree with Chris, 40%. Wishes, I would say less. I would say 20%. Mike?
I think that I've seen too many things going on in the Magic Kingdom regarding being able to watch fireworks. For me to think that Wishes
like
will
the
be
fast
moving
passes,
soon.
And the fast pass areas.
Mm-hmm. The dessert parties and things like that. So I think that Wishes will be around for at least another 5 or 6 years. The thing with Illuminations is that there are so many rumors that have been bandied about with Illuminations that I just don't know if that's ever going to happen. They keep doing little things to improve it. They keep adding a little pyro here and there. They keep doing things with lasers. So I think that if that was going to be on the move, I don't think that they would tweak it. So I'm saying that there's a less than 25% chance that either one will be replaced before 2020. All right. Here we go. Who's
Michelle's,
first?
Michelle's first this time.
Okay. All right, Michelle, what are the chances of the Tower of Terror 10-miler race weekend returning within the next 3 years?
That's a good one. So this is different than whether or not I want it to return. I don't know, Mike, because I love that race. I love the distance. I love the nighttime race. I love the course. But I think it's just a wacky weather time, and I think that... one of the biggest reason that it went away, I think, is the construction of Hollywood Studios. But I think the weather is just really unpredictable, too. So I'm going to say 50%, and that's mostly my hope. Over the next 3 years.
Chris?
When's the construction going to be done in the studios?
2018? 2019?
All right, so it goes down to 30%.
Okay.
Chris?
Yeah, they gave up the ghost on that one. Sorry, I had to get the pun in. There's no way. Zero. I mean, 0% of it coming back. If anything, they're going to come up with another race that may be the same distance, but they'll theme it towards something that would get people coming. I think that's the wave of their future, is theming towards their other properties. So you've got, you've got Star Wars, you've got Avengers. Maybe they, with the opening of Pixar Place, maybe they turn into a Pixar 10K or Pixar whatever. So I'm saying 0% chance that they will be bringing it back. Michael?
I think that there is a 75% chance we'll see it in the next 2 years, and I think there's a 90% chance we'll see it in the next 3 years, because I think that it's a very well-themed race. I think it's revenue-generating, and I think that they would not... turn their backs on seeing that revenue stream be long gone for a while. I think that as they're doing the construction in the studios, they may have very well already put together a course, and maybe it is a course that will be available in 2018, and so that they could bring it back. I think it's the best themed race of the whole Run Disney series, and I think that they receive a lot of compliments from it. I think it's a 10-miler, and I think it's cheap to put on. So I think that for all those reasons, I would expect that within the next 2 years, we may see it. So I'm going to say, overall, for the next 3 years, I think there's a 75% chance. So
man, we are so off on that one.
Oh, yeah. I love the shirts, too. Can I just say I love the shirt? Those are some of my favorite shirts to wear. For workouts.
All right. Chris gets the first shot at the next one.
All right.
How likely are we to see a Walt Disney World value resort converted to DVC?
Wow. You're clever. Even though you're not feeling well, you're pretty clever.
Yeah, it's a very interesting thought. So you're saying the hotel itself would just be converted to a DVC?
Or part of it, maybe.
Like, would they build onto it, or are you just saying converting part of it?
I would say one or the other, but most likely they would probably convert to studios and, things like that.
Yeah, I would think it would be, number one, I would say it's a smart move because it might be a lower cost DVC, right? So you want some families that are looking for a little bit of a lower cost. It's a smart decision, so usually that's my sign that they won't do it. I would say, how many years are we giving this? Over the next, any time? Or do you think
anytime,
ever?
Anytime.
Oh, God. Then I'm going to, you know, I'd say about 65% chance of that happening at some point, depending on. They need more rooms, so that's the problem, is they keep adding rooms, not necessarily studios. They need to sort of have more people to come in and stay there. So I'm going to say about 65. Michelle?
This is a really tough one.
Yeah.
Because I have to think from Disney's point of view, what is the goal of DVC? Is it just the sale of the property, or is it to get people to come and spend more money at the parks and, you know, to visit more often? And I think it's a really clever idea, a way to get people, you know, in the door, and then they could add more points on, especially younger families. I love this idea. I don't know how likely it is. I'll say 30%.
Okay.
What about you, Mike?
I think it's 100%, and I think it's Art of Animation.
Wow.
And I think
that's what I was thinking too.
And I think the reason why it's going to happen is because I think that there would be people hoard their points. I'm sure that value resorts would have fewer points required. I think they would also free up some of the DVC rooms, and so they could charge cash. So I think that from a revenue stream, I think this would really work for Disney. I think that they would have to upgrade a little bit on the rooms, but they already have suites in Art of Animation.
Good point.
It's already there. They may end up maybe building one more building there. I don't know, but... I really think it's eventually going to happen, you know. So, anyways,
interesting one.
All right, so let's see. We are 14?
16.
16. Mm-hmm. All right. So let's see. This is Michelle first. How likely do you think we will see ever any kind of a lottery system when it comes to Run Disney Race Registration Day? Do you think we'll ever see lottery?
You didn't really warn me that there's going to be a lot of thinking involved in this one. let's see.
I left the thinking off. Turn my thinking thoughts on.
I'm on summer vacation. I think zero. And the reason we've discussed this on the show before, I think that the goal of Run Disney is to fill up those races. If we talked 3 years ago, there were... You'd have to be at the button, you know, ready to submit your registration at 12:02 Eastern Standard Time when they released it. It's not happening anymore. And I think that, you know, I see little teasers and tweets, you know, oh, come join us for Princess. There's a reason for that. The challenge races are selling out pretty quickly, but the other races are not. So I think as it stands now, Run Disney has hit the saturation point and there's not even a need for a lottery.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was actually on our last show, I was looking up dates when they became available and seeing so many races still open. I mean, it was only a couple of years ago where they were sold out within 2 hours after coming on. And now you're seeing months later, you're still seeing it. So I think there's no likelihood. The only thing I would say is we discussed this on that episode when we talked about when we did the questionnaire, and they asked the idea of, like, would you get a bib with a hotel purchase? I think they're more likely to do that than they are to do a lottery at this point. I think, like Michelle said, they hit a saturation. So I'm can I go below zero? I don't think they're going to do it.
You know, if we were having this conversation a year ago, I think we'd all be answering it differently. I think we'd all be saying, well, you know, that's a good idea. But, you know, and then we also have the potential problem if you've got a husband and wife. Let's say, Chris, you got in, but Audrey didn't get in. Well, there's got some issues. So I think if they were ever going to do a lottery, it would have to be you would win two openings. I don't think you could just have one. You'd win two spots. But to echo both of what you guys have been saying, I think the frenzy's over. I think that we saw last week that the princess Weekend did not sell out that quickly. I think that what sells out
for DVC and AP.
For DVC and AVP.
See, I'm not the only one who has a problem with these acronyms.
Yeah, annual pass holders.
Yes, you are.
I think that the challenge. I think one of the problems. I mean, it's sort of a double-edged sword for Run Disney. So they offer these challenges, and it gives them an opportunity to make more, bring in more revenue. But at the same time, if you have a number of people out there who want to get in for the challenge, and they don't, it's like, well, I'm not going to go down for just a 10K. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go down for just a half. I'm not going to get down
actually,
if I can.
They created a monster, yeah, didn't they? Where people used to do that.
So, I mean, I can register for the half and I can register for the 10K separately, but I'm not going to get that glass slipper challenge medal. So, why should I even bother? So, I'm not going to register. I'm not going down. See ya, Run Disney. So, for that reason, because of the slowdown, I don't think there's ever going to be a need for a lottery, at least at this point. So, we'll see.
That's a great point, though, Mike. I think that where people just would have gone down for one race or two races, now they, if they don't get in to the challenge, they just might not even bother. Yeah. So.
All right, Chris, you're first up for this one.
All right.
It's a two-parter, and depending upon how you answer the first part, you may or may not have to answer the second part.
Ooh, intriguing.
Between now and 2025, what are the chances of Epcot's World Showcase seeing a new pavilion? And if you are saying more than 50% chance of a new pavilion, please tell us which pavilion.
This is sounding like an SAT question now.
If two pavilions are traveling across the country at 49 miles an hour, and where would they meet? Yeah, wow.
Please provide a rationale for your answer.
Yeah. Wow. Again, this is one of those things where I would think years ago I might have said there was a greater chance. My thought would only be that I might be like 51% in that it wouldn't be necessarily a new one, but I think they would expand the Africa Pavilion and really open it up the way it should have been and expand outward. I would love to see a Greece, of course.
Opa!
And, you know, we could just crash dishes on the floor everywhere you went. You know, they're so locked in right now. I think there's a greater chance that they would swap out a pavilion to a different country if the costs were, you know, because a lot of these guys are pulling out. Nobody wants to sponsor anymore.
How would Greece afford?
I know. They have no money. Okay. I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, you know, but then again, you're
talking. Maybe you could find it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll spend all that money. But then even like in Africa, right? How would you, like, there's so many countries in Africa. It's not even a country. It's you know,
it's a continent. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah. I would say there's probably not a likelihood. I'm definitely going to say under the 50% mark. I'm going to probably say more like 30% chance. Michelle, because you're gonna. I know the next one would be which one would it
he's
be?
Not letting me talk.
Sorry, what, you're saying something? Sorry, go Michelle.
Well, the Africa one, Chris, and just a follow up, because they already have that space in Animal Kingdom.
Right.
I'm wondering if they kind of already did it there, but I know Mike, you had talked about Australia years ago. I can't think of. I mean, there's so many cool places in the world, but. We have, you know, Morocco's there, too, representing Africa. Where would it go? I don't even know where it would fit. And I think Chris's point about there being, you know, maybe a swap out, but what would go? I don't know. And where would it go? So I think the chances are very unlikely. I think what I would hope that they would do is maybe enhance, so to put change at the movie in France. There's lots of great space in China. Do something there besides that movie. You know. So I think it's very low. I would say 5%. Oh, he's taking a deep breath.
Here we go.
Okay, so
fasten your seat.
Everybody get comfortable. It's gonna be a while.
When we think of where we could add something in World Showcase, there's only one area that we think of, and that's the area that's just beyond China, just beyond the drawbridge, where the barge comes out for Illuminations.
There's a room there?
In that corner where the African hut is.
Okay.
There's a reason why a pavilion has not been built there. There's very little room behind there. Mm-hmm. I've been behind there, and there's very little room. There's a road behind there. Of course, they could move it around, I guess. But there's very little room, and if they were going to build a pavilion, most likely it would be a very reduced footprint pavilion, probably with stores, probably not an attraction, but on the water they would have a restaurant. And I think that would be something that would be definitely something that they would plan. Now, Australia comes to mind. I think that you have to be very, 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 very careful now when you're talking countries in World Showcase. You have to be very careful about, you know, but so you have to think about, you know, what country would be safe. What comes to mind? Sure. Australia comes to mind. And you could do a very good job of putting a movie. You could put a theater back there, but I don't know. I think that if that was going to happen, it would have happened by now. I don't know who would pay for it. You know, Australian.
I think it should be New Zealand and be hosted by Flight of the Conchords.
Could be. I don't know. But I think, I'll tell you how torn I am with, I think it's 49% chance that it would happen. But if I were to say 51, it would be Australia. But I just think that if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now. What are the chances of the Wine and Dine Half Marathon returning to a nighttime venue?
I think that it's very, very, I think it's little to none. And the reason is because the past 2 years, Run Disney has had, I don't want to call them disasters because I think that they've done the best job that they can, but that unpredictable weather in November has caused 1 year of a rainstorm and another year of thunderstorms where the half marathon was turned into a 7-miler. So lots of disappointed people. I think it's just too volatile a weather time. In the morning, you don't have those thunderstorms. It's unusual. And I think that they probably already made this decision when they went to the morning half. They tried to snazz it up and say, you know, hey, this is something fun and new, but it's really just the same as all the other ones. But I think it's zero. I think it's 0%.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I wish they would. Maybe they'd make the Star Wars Dark Side go nighttime.
Nice, yeah.
And swap that out, because that would be a lot of fun.
The dark side at night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They could put Pink Floyd on there, too. but, yeah, it's time of year, you know, I just think they're just playing it safe now. So I'm agreeing with Michelle. I think it's going to be like zero. Mike?
I think that there are a number of reasons why they changed it, and I think that they being Run Disney, when they make a decision, I think that they think about it long and hard before they flip the switch, and I don't think they would go back. I think that they dodged a bullet last year, so they don't want to have.
I mean,
to,
in terms of just, they could have canceled the whole thing. Yeah,
and mm-hmm. There would have been a lot of people screaming for
yeah.
them. So, but you know, it's funny because we say that, and yet I want to say that I think that the Tower of Terror comes back. But yeah, I think that Wine and Dine probably is going to be the way it is now. I also think that it really took its toll on Epcot because it was all day, and then you had that night thing, and then you had the party. So I think it's pretty much going to stay as a daytime thing. So we'll see that.
Well, plus, you know, when you have people running the half in an hour and a half and then 3.5 hours, you know, people want to enjoy that party afterwards, and it's just a big difference in time, and some people I think felt that they didn't get everything out of it, which they probably didn't. So
okay, one last question.
Okay.
It's another two-parter.
Okay. I like how Chris gets these first.
I know. What's the deal here?
And again, if you answer
playing favorites.
If you answer over 50%, then you have to tell me more. I'll give you the next question, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So, and this is no time limit, but do you think we will ever What are the chances of us ever seeing a parade returning to the World Showcase Promenade in our lifetime? What are the chances?
Wow. God, it would be really nice. I would love to see that. But that's a plussing, and they're not. They haven't been plussing. They've been removing stuff.
Yeah.
Freaky stuff. So
they've
been
minusing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to give it 25% just out of hope, not even out of anything in reality. Because, like we said, they're not looking to expand free stuff.
Yeah.
Michelle.
So I'm guessing the reason they took it away was money.
I don't. There were a couple of reasons why they took it away. I know that the puppets were having a very difficult time with wind. The Tapestry of Dreams.
World Showcase Lagoon.
That was a problem. I don't know if money was an issue. My guess is that there's always a financial consideration. So you're probably right, Michelle.
You know, if it isn't that, it probably is. But if it isn't that, you can't imagine a place that's more inhospitable to parades than Animal Kingdom. And they have it there. So I think they should have it. I agree with what Chris said, that they've been minusing, not plussing. So I would say 20%. But, I mean, what a great... It's a circle, you know, especially around World Showcase Lagoon. Plenty of room for people to be cordoned off for, you know, to watch the parade. There's really no excuse as to why, if it isn't money. But I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. Maybe with the next CEO, right?
You notice that the that promenade section around World Showcase over the last 15 years, it's become a little bit more narrow. They keep some of those kiosks that they use for wine and dine, for food and wine there, and for flower and garden. So, and I don't think they want to move them. So I think that would be an issue right there. I don't think that there will be a return of a parade, and I really feel badly about it because I thought that Tapestry of Dreams was pretty cool. Not that they would return that one, but that could be one that they would return. But I want to close off by saying if they were going to have a parade, why not have one that talks about living together, getting along together, peace, you know, among nations, and things like that. I think that it would be a very, very interesting gesture on Walt Disney World's part to do something like that, even if they did it just for the summer. I think if they did it for the summer, June, July, and August, and that's it. And then they have it for Flower and Garden. They have that for food and wine. So I think that would be fine. But unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever see. And that will be the only...
Especially since what has happened in Orlando and the rest of the country, it would be,
it would be a
lovely gesture, right?
Yeah.
But that's it. So,
interesting questions. We got to do this again. I like this.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys liked it.
So many questions. So many we could do.
Yeah,
so many. And I'm hoping that those of you who've been listening can chime in with your own thoughts and
percentages.
Yeah, percentages. And hopefully got you thinking about certain things. And I'm sure that there are a lot of these that were on people's minds anyways. And it's good to take a look at this. And who knows, maybe Disney will listen and say, hey, you know, it's on people's minds. So maybe we should think about it too. So, for Chris Aliopoulos and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you in the parks, on the road.
What are the percentages of that?
What are the percentages of that? Bye-bye.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.